to my heart. I'm one of their foundation board members, and I think they do a tremendous amount of work. I mean, tremendous, I don't even think captures it, to be honest. It's incredible how much they do in our city, how many programs they offer to families, and really the complexity of the organization itself and the fact that it's run so successfully for so many years is amazing. So what I'd like to do, I'll let Patty speak to this herself because she's the expert, obviously. And then what I'm going to do is I'll ask you to pass the mic down, and if you can reintroduce yourselves and take a minute to talk about what you do, so your organizations, and in like less than a minute, but we're going to keep talking, so it's okay, you'll have more time to keep talking. Talk about why you said yes when we called you, because I think that's important.
Thank you, Tanya, and good morning, everyone. I feel really honored to be here with you this morning, bright and early, although it's almost 9 o'clock, so I can't really say that anymore. As Tanya mentioned, I'm with an organization called the Youth Services Bureau of Ottawa, and for those of you who don't know YSB, for short, it's an organization that has been around Ottawa since 1960, so it's older than me and many of you. The Youth Services Bureau has 30 programs throughout the city at 20 locations, 350 professionals that serve youth 12 years and up. And we serve a very special population of youth 12 years and up, and those are youth who, as Frank mentioned earlier, are struggling with issues like homelessness, mental health, barriers to employment, as well as barriers related to being in the justice system. So I've been with the foundation of YSB for only about 4 months, but I've long admired the organization for the work that they do, probably mostly because I'm a parent, and like many of you in the room, can't imagine our youth, our kids that leave home in the morning and go to school or summer jobs or off to camp, struggling with things like homelessness and mental health. It just doesn't seem right. So YSB has been around, as I said, since 1960, and currently serving close to 3,000 youth every month in a variety of different ways, so through all the programs that we serve. I love the thread of the conversation this morning with our speakers talking about that spirit of entrepreneurship. That is also true in the nonprofit sector. Just like business, we have policies, we have procedures, we have departments, we have IT, we have HR. We have all of those similar structures that organizations do. And the one thing that I really admire about YSB is that culture of entrepreneurship. And I think that's where communications comes in as well. All of those things that serve to help us work together as a collaborative. We have many partners across the city, from corporate as well as to government, the city as a funder, and volunteers. And we really work in collaboration. It's the only way that we can work. And we also, I think Jason mentioned this and did a great job about it, that we have to listen. A big part of our culture is listening. All the stories that we have from youth that we support and the families that we support helps to inform every part of our organization. So I think with all the themes that we talked about this morning, I always think that listening is something else, along with storytelling, all the other pieces that listening to youth, listening to the customers that we're serving helps to inform every part of our organization. So I will pass the mic along and continue with the introductions.
Thanks, Patty. So my name is Katie Miller, and I'm the Managing Director at Impact Hub Ottawa. And because this is like a little bit of a communications event, we'll do a little communications test. How many of you guys have heard of Impact Hub Ottawa? Not bad. How many of you guys think you can explain what we do? There's where we're struggling. That's why I came today. I'm part of Impact Hub Ottawa, and we're an organization that's trying to do exactly what a lot of our ministers talked about this morning, which is creating a space for people to come together and tackle problems, big social issues, and try to make the world a better place. And we do that through people, place, and programs. So one, hosting and connecting a community of individuals through place, by hosting a creative and collaborative co-working environment for those people to come together to, and through programs, trying to develop the capacity of individuals to make a difference and bring them together. So that's what we're doing, and obviously I said yes to Tanya today because one, she's awesome, but two, because we're still struggling with that of explaining what we do in simple language for people to grapple with, but not oversimplifying as well what we're trying to do, and trying to find that fine balance.
Thank you, Katie. My name is Manal. I'm a coach. I founded my organization called Beautiful Happy Reasons last year. And I came from a corporate environment. And so when I overseas, when I came here, I took some time to kind of really look at what I wanted. And I found it difficult to go from that corporate mindset or the skills that I had before into something new, something that expressed my passions. And so I want, and I wanted to help people. So I thought, well, what would better way to be a coach and to guide people through that process as well? Because there's a lot of people who want to do something and they just don't know how to do it. And so I provide that space, work with clients to provide the space, but also to look at where they are, how they're going to get there and take actionable steps. And through that process, I got to start an initiative with my partner, Amy, who's sitting today, and another partner, Katie, called Happiness Habits 613. And what we want to do is we want to make the city the happiest city in Canada and hopefully in the world. And we bring people together through a series of events centered around 9 principles, so including mindfulness, meditation, gratitude, movement, meaning and purpose, and nature, and so on. And basically, we want people to really engage in the community. Overall, the initiative is about engaging in the community and supporting people and encouraging people to, to be with each other and just to form those relationships. And we've talked about partnerships and relationships today, and they're really, really important. And co-creating is a word that I'm part of. So we've co-created this process together, and that makes me really excited. I said yes today because this is not my comfort zone. I don't like to be in front of people, so that's why I said yes, but also because I really wanted to engage in the community and really love what I do, and happiness is an amazing initiative for us to all be a part of. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. I'm Pat Crosscombe, founder and CEO of Board Space. Board Space is software specifically designed for the managers and directors of condominiums, cooperatives, nonprofits, and small business. It's a software that's designed to streamline the administrative tasks, such as keeping track of minutes, following up on tasks, and safely storing your documents. We're an early stage startup. I've been 2 years building it. We're launching in September with a launch to real customers, currently in beta. With a few pilot users, and yes, communications is critical to connecting with my customers. Why did I say yes this morning? First of all, I would never say no to Omar. But it's also a great opportunity to meet new people, connect with others, and to share my software product with other people as well. Thank you.
Hi there. My name is Ravi Ramsaran. Actually, I am a serial entrepreneur. I've had several businesses, and currently I have started a company with Chris Donnelly over there. Chris, it's called Brightfish Learning. And Chris and I both have about, I would say, over 20, 30 years of experience writing and developing educational software for school districts and for large companies in the U.S. And one thing we kept seeing over and over again when we went into schools that kids were just not reading at grade level and was really frustrating. So we kind of looked at each other and we thought, well, something's not working and we know what we're doing, I think. So why don't we just try something different and start a company to sort of address this problem? And the real issue is not just addressing the problem about literacy, but doing it in such a way that it doesn't disrupt the normal classroom environment and it doesn't take kids out of their comfort zone. It sort of makes them don't feel like they're being singled out. And so what we've created is a software that takes a reading passage and breaks it down into very specific small components so that kids can get success reading words and phrases and sentences, introducing vocabulary words, until the point where they can actually read and comprehend a reading passage at grade level. So that's what we've done. We just launched in March. We're in 5 school districts in the U.S. with over 1,000 students have gone through the system. And of September, because, of course, we're cyclical, school starts in September, so that's our big push. from a marketing perspective, what we're looking at is how do we get more schools knowing about our success and how do we grow our business?
Green days. Jason's old school, like half an hour ago old school, but he's still old school. So I think this is excellent. This is a great way to kick off. How many of you in the room often find yourselves questioning, so you can do a show of hands, if your communication is working? Working, yeah, working or not working. Did it get somewhere? Did someone actually hear? And the big thing with entrepreneurs, with any business, is did it convert? Did it actually translate to conversion? So here's what I want to know, because Jason, you're the guy that we've put in the hot seat to be the expert today. Can you solve all their problems in 5 minutes? No, I'm kidding. We talked about a lot of strategies this morning, getting out and meeting people. But of course, when you're trying to scale, especially a tech business, it can be hard to get out face-to-face because you're busy coding and doing all your other stuff that you have to do that typically pins you to a desk. So get up and meet work. Communication is no longer a one-way channel. I know you and I had a chat about that yesterday briefly, but what do you think is kind of really working? What are you seeing that's really working that might help everybody up here?
Yeah, I think I would back it up a little bit before saying, because I think the challenge we have is that people often want to jump to, well, just give me the tactic, right? Just tell me what I have to do and I'll just go and do it, right? But they don't want to do some of the hard work that goes into strategic planning, right? And strategic planning is, for all intents and purposes, if you distill it down to its most basic sort of function, it's about making choices as an organization, right? It's about identifying what are you good at, what are you not good at, and then having the courage to sort of say that out loud inside your organization, and we're not going to do those things, we're going to do these things. So that's the first piece of it. The second piece of it, I think, is you know, to your first question about how many of you have wondered if your communications is working. I mean, the real question is, are you actually measuring it? Because you actually don't know if it's working or not if you don't measure it. And you can't do that after the fact, right? That has to be part of the thinking that goes into your planning sort of at the front end, right? And part of that starts with understanding who is it that we need to reach. We have clients that will come to us all the time and say, you know, we've got this reputational problem, right? Or we've got an awareness problem. If we could just get ourselves into the ROB, or if we could just get on CTV, that would solve all of our problems, right? Or if we could just buy an ad. I think part of the challenge people have is understanding who is it that actually cares about what we're doing. I mean, everybody here has an interesting story and is doing important things and making a contribution in their own way. But from a business perspective, only certain groups of people actually care about that, right? So figure out who those people are, and those are the people you need to be talking to, right? And that should be your sort of first priority. So when you talk about the hub, who in Ottawa actually cares about, and I don't mean that in a pejorative sense, right? I mean, but who are you actually trying to reach? It's not everybody, right? And part of the hard work that goes into the communications planning is figuring out who those audiences are. I remember I worked with one of our sort of more junior staff, and I said, you know, can you just start the framework of the plan for the client, and then we'll sit down and we'll go through it once you've got some sort of bones and a structure set up, right? We get to the section on audience, and it's just a bulleted list. So it's media. It's, you know, the minister of X, Y, and Z. It's the provincial minister of X, Y, and Z. And the public, right? That's a pretty big net that you're trying to cast when you have limited resources, right? So I think part of it is figuring out, you know, who are we and what is it we do and what are we good at, right? Figuring out what that story is, to the point that a number of people made here today, and remembering that you are trying to tell a story. You're not just sharing facts. You're not just sharing, you know, figures or data points, because nobody cares about that, right? Your accountant cares about that. You know, the regulator cares about that, but that's not telling a story. And then figuring out who those audiences are, and then you can move on to, okay, now what are the best ways to reach those people now that we know who they are and what we want to say to them.
So I'll ask the group, I don't need a mic, I'll try and project. What are you doing now? I mean, Patty, you've got a capital campaign coming up. So YSB is in the midst of a huge initiative, big vision, to actually create homes for homeless youth. I mean, this is a big deal. This is a big project for you, and this is one of many things you do. How are you starting to get out there? What have you seen working? What could you use a boost with? What are you thinking?
Yeah, and I think back to Jason's point, you do have to take that step back and really make sure that you've got that planning step in and not just simply go out and say, you know, here's why you need to care. You've got to influence folks behind the scenes as well. So for example, this supportive housing structure that we're hoping to build in the next couple of years, we have land, we've got a very compelling case because in an average year, there are 1,000 homeless youth here in Ottawa. So YSB has shelters for those youth. We have transitional housing, but we still need additional supportive housing. And that supportive housing really prepares our youth to be independent once they leave that building. But it's also providing all the structure around it. And, you know, if you follow the media and you hear about projects to address homelessness in other cities like Los Angeles and New York and other big urban centers in the States, it's one thing to create the housing and to have those units available. It's another thing to have the wraparound services that help people to really lift themselves and become independent. And those are services like mental health support, support with getting employment, support with finishing school, because a lot of our youth that we see coming into our drop-in center downtown are picking away one credit at a time to get their high school education. I met a young man not long ago, about a month ago, who was 18 years old, had one high school credit to his name, and yet he's dedicated to go to the school at our drop-in center down on Besserer. He's going to pick away and get credit after credit. He's so determined because he can see what that's going to mean to him in the future in terms of further education and employment. So, as Jason said, it's understanding who your key influences are. It's one thing for all of us at YSB to feel convicted and so passionate about our this housing project, as an example, the capital campaign. But there's a lot of work to be done in the background. There's work to be done at the city. There's work to be done speaking with councillors, the councillor for the area where the project is going to be built, the people who live in that area. There's so many things that we have to do and are doing in the background before a shovel goes in the ground. And so I think that strategic planning piece is really essential. And it's also, you know, for us at YSB, for folks who don't know who we are, it's often because they haven't used our services. So if you don't know a youth within your circle who hasn't used our services, then you may not be aware of what we do in the community. So yes, we're 350 people strong and we're 20 different locations and there's, you know, all the different support systems that are in place for you. If you don't know someone who hasn't used the service or perhaps doesn't wish to talk about it, then it's not as widely known. So communications, I think, is not just the big C communications, where it's someone who has that title and that's their job. It's everyone in our organization, including board members like Tanya, understanding what we do and how we do it and sharing that message in everyday meetings. In working with the city and working with other funders, in working with the corporate world, volunteers as well. So always having a really, really tight message that we can share with all of our audiences, but the planning is absolutely critical, and that's the piece that we're in right now.
I think that's interesting because I know that Manal of Happiness Habits 613. So Manal, maybe you can explain to the group in like just a quick second or two what the event is about, because it's quite a good event. It's annual right now, and so I'm signed up. I'm in the tribe. I think these girls did a great job building a tribe of people, and I've met a lot of them. I mean, they have followed them all year long, like you've had in the community, and that's no error. It's no accident. It was completely done with a lot of planning, but maybe you can share a little bit about that and how you hope to propel it forward when, you know, using some of these takeaways.
We started last year because we saw a need, but it was also because it was a collaboration between three people. I'm a coach, Amy's a nutritionist, and Katie's a yogi. And so we have different communities in which we were able to reach, we were able to communicate with different communities, and, we saw that people really wanted to be happy and really wanted to be supported and be in a community where they were, there was no risk. You just came and you basically showed up and, you know, and everybody essentially in this room and everybody I've ever met just wants to be happy and wants to live a happy, healthy life. So I think that's a good maybe it opened the door for people to engage. Our events are also really fun and exciting, and just we have coloring and we have mala making. We had joy jars last year, and just things that are fun and engage the community in a fun way. People listen to music, people come, people build relationships. And the reason why it's propelled is because they found this very supportive community and they've built those relationships, and those relationships have lasted over this year. And they're really excited to kind of keep those relationships up and just build new relationships, because they're all there just to really experience joy and happiness. What makes it strong is that they're all kind and they're all supportive and encouraging. And you meet, face to face. Yes.
But on social media too.
Oh, yeah.
We use social media so effectively. Remember I was with Manel, the City of Omaha Festival, and with Amy and Kate as well. And I was so amazed. We were talking about social media, and you might relate to this, Jason. I'm sure everybody up there would too. I look and I'm like, Snap what? Instagram? I've got a long list of like 10 things. And I'm like, really? When do I actually do stuff? But this is doing stuff. But I was amazed to see that they don't communicate as much on Twitter, but they prefer Instagram because that's where their following is. I want to pass this to Jason, but then I also want to ask Pat and Rabbi, how have you engaged social media? But Jason, how do you choose your channel? Like, there's so many channels. How do you choose it?
I think it goes back to, first of all, it goes back to understanding who your audience is, right? And then you can sort of figure out what the appropriate channel is. I mean, you know, if you're trying to do an excellent sort of public policy change, so your real audience is government, for example, right? A Twitter campaign may not be the best way to do that. It doesn't mean that it's not part of it. It doesn't mean that it's not a tool that you're going to use. But that's probably not going to get you what you want, right? The reality is all of those tools matter now because people use them. So you have to be paying attention. We do a lot of work in issues and crisis management, right? And it's interesting that the older the CEO that you're dealing with is, the more they care about what the traditional sort of mainstream reporter is calling and asking about, right? The less they care about what's happening on, you know, social media and things like that. And I think the failure there is that they don't understand that the media themselves now rely on some of those tools to get ideas, to get information, to ask questions, to, you know, solicit input from other audiences. So those tools are all important, and I don't think it's ever a case of, you know, it's rarely a binary sort of choice that you're faced with, right? It's figuring out how and when to use those tools most effectively. The audience you're talking about may be most effectively reached with social media, right? They're not reading the Globe and Mail. Why would we pay $45,000 for one insertion in a newspaper that no one will ever see, right? And the other challenge we run into, we say this to clients, is don't confuse activity with achievement, right? So just pushing a bunch of stuff out and hoping someone sees it is rarely an effective approach, right? Sure, you can spend whatever you want to spend on, you know, advertising. Sometimes it makes sense. Other times it doesn't. But what are you measuring and who are you trying to reach? Figure that out, and then you'll know which tools you need to use.
That's great. So, Rabbi, I've got a question. So, Pat, we met face-to-face at FitHeads. There was an event there a while ago, and I remember meeting you there and hearing about your idea. Pat is an amazing collaborator. She's doing work with students at Algonquin. I remember this. And is it Carleton as well? Do you have students here too that are helping you?
No, but I am a member of the Lead to Win program here at Algonquin.
Yeah.
Yes,
you're out there like a lot. So are you using social media? Is it helping? If you are.
Yes, I am using social media. I have just engaged a professional company, ReSoMe, a local-based company here, to implement the social media strategy that I never had time to do myself. We're an early-stage company, so we're very much in the experimental, let's try lots of stuff and we'll see what works. My mascot has come this morning. I'm experimenting with the use of a lighter touch, a little bit of fun in my communication. On Twitter, he's way more popular than I am. He gets a much stronger reaction than I do, but activity is not results, and so it's a bit too soon to know
how effective he will be versus the official board space and my own personal one. But definitely the emotions that this little guy creates is much stronger than anything else. I think this brings a great